Hi, this is Jeremy Funiga, Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to Andrew Lapping, Chief Investment Officer at Allan Gray. Andrew, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Absolute pleasure, Tony. Thank you.
Great. Everybody knows that we're in difficult times economically. Things are volatile. We don't always know from day to day or week to week what's going to happen and so on. But somehow companies like yourself, Allan Gray, does very well in maintaining some good investment results. And advisors sort of need to ensure that their clients benefit from that. So maybe you can just give us a little bit of an idea as with the kind of uncertain and volatile markets. What do you recommend as a strategy for investors?
Great. The good thing about the uncertainty is actually it plays into the hands of the consistent investor. Because if you're a valuation-based investor, volatility helps because the strategy that all investors should be following is looking to invest in undervalued assets. And in good times, finding those undervalued assets is very difficult. However, the thing to do in these uncertain times is stick to your strategy. If you set a strategy, that should be a 5, 10, 15-year strategy about how you invest, your equity weighting, should be in equity or bonds. The time now is not to panic. It's just to continue investing steadily, making contributions, because it's far better to buy a stock that's at a low price than a high price, and that is those opportunities that are arising now.
And so if we look at balanced portfolios and, obviously diversification and having a balanced portfolio has always been good advice, is that still a solution in terms of risk and reward terms in this environment?
Yeah, the good thing about a balanced portfolio is it's not, you don't want diversification for the sake of diversification. You want diversification because there are different opportunities and different asset classes. So if you invest in, say, only an equity portfolio, well, then you can only look at equity opportunities. While you, if you invest in a balanced portfolio, you can look at fixed interest opportunities, equity opportunities, property opportunities. So it basically widens the spectrum. And the good thing is, in a balanced portfolio, it always means you've got dry powder. If you invest in an equity portfolio and you're 100% invested, and the market falls 20%, you're still 100% invested. But the great thing about a balanced portfolio is if you say 60% in equities, 40% in cash fixed interest, if the equities fall 20%, you can actually say, wow, equities are now even cheaper than they were before. I'll deploy some of that cash and fixed interest into equities. So you're actually able to buy more on the way down. And that's the trick with a balanced portfolio. As a certain asset class becomes cheaper, you deploy more capital into that cheap asset class.
And I suppose that's where good management actually then comes in when it comes to managing portfolios in this sort of environment. So if we then...
I think what comes in there is just consistency and valuation. So it's not rocket science or anything like that. You just have to know what you think each asset is worth. And when the opportunity presents itself, you have to be willing to take advantage of it.
So in South African terms, where we are today, what do you see as a well-balanced portfolio? Is it possible to describe that?
For sure. You obviously, in most unit trusts in South Africa, you're limited firstly by Regulation 28, which only permits 30% offshore and maximum equity weighting of 75% and so on. But I think what you'd expect to see for a balanced portfolio now is given that the market has been quite weak, you should see the equity exposure creeping up because there definitely are opportunities rising and you should see your manager taking advantage of opportunities, a steadily increasing equity exposure. And then given the limits of what you can invest offshore, I would think most people would be close to the 30% available. We're slightly below that as we speak today. Why? Because the rand sold off to 15.5 to the dollar. We took advantage of that and actually repatriated quite a lot of funds. The rand has subsequently strengthened. But most people will probably be around 30% offshore.
Mm. So yeah, my next question was going to be around that, what sort of role does offshore still play in the environment? Of course, it does play an important role. And how do you see that in relation to the fact that so many of the JSE companies are already themselves exposed offshore for income generation?
Well, for sure. I mean, if you are managing a totally unconstrained portfolio, a global portfolio, what percent of your assets would you have in South Africa? You probably only have a few percent of your assets in South Africa. Why? Because let's say there's 6,000 big stocks out there, and how many big companies are there in the JSE? There's 50, let's say. Okay, so it's obviously a small percentage, and the odds of, if you're just looking to invest in the, let's say, 40 cheapest stocks across the world, the odds of 50% of those companies being in South Africa are obviously extremely low, okay?
Mm.
And what should drive your country selection is valuation. So you should be looking across the world saying, where can I find the most undervalued companies? Why? Because that will give you the best returns over the long term. The other thing that's quite important is, I know a lot of people do say, oh, but most JSE companies are, you know, earn most of their money offshore, and that is true. But where it matters is if you are if you're investing through your retirement annuity and that kind of thing, it doesn't matter so much. But if you're just investing discretionary money from a tax point of view, a capital gains tax point of view, it's far better to buy those same companies in their primary estate in, say, dollars than buying it in rand. Because the problem is, if you buy them in rand, you pay capital gains tax on the depreciation of the rand, which you shouldn't do, you won't do if you buy in dollars.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like the opportunity is still as good as ever to be investing locally as well as globally. As an investor, one should just stick to the fundamentals of having a balanced outlook.
Well, I think, yes, and I think I would just add one thing, is that you must invest blindly. So there is some value in South Africa. Why? Because the market is, in the last 10 years, the market has basically been flat in dollars. And there is selected opportunity across the world, but certain markets we think are quite expensive, and the big one is the U.S. The U.S. stock market has been extremely strong for a long time, while other markets have actually underperformed. So you as an investor should be looking more towards the markets that have underperformed to find opportunity than chasing, say, the U.S. market, where valuations may be quite full.
Yes. Andrew, thank you very much for those insights and for sharing some of Alan Gray's secrets with us. I hope you have a wonderful Friday and long weekend.
Great. Thank you so much, Tony. Absolute pleasure.